couple of minutes this side of the 11 o'clock hour. We're already midweek. Wow. We rolled through the mornings with Ed Show. It's the midday show now. Welcome to the program. Delighted to have you here. As you know, we've been talking all morning long. It is, of course, American Business Women's Day. And we've been celebrating strong and successful women throughout the morning. And man, do we have a couple with us here today. Julie Lawton with Julie Lawton Design Build joins us once again this morning. And she brought along a friend. You just heard that song, Fading Fast, from the Go-Go's. We have Go-Go's drummer, Hall of Fame Go-Go's drummer, Gina Schock, with us this morning. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you
for being here today.
Thank you.
I could not be happier to see you both in front of me, and the fact that you've already started a conversation that's just taken off.
Well, we're looking good. We're just, talking to each other about who got murdered and stuff. No.
It is a beautiful
day. I'm happy to be here in Laguna.
It's like I'm hearing real detective stories with the two of you.
Guys' territory.
Welcome, both of you.
So, it's fun.
So we're here for several reasons, and we'll get to the Hall of Fame in just a second. But November 5th, there's something taking place at Harley's. Julie, you want to tell us about that?
I'm going to host a wonderful party at my old favorite spot, which used to be Sorrento Grill, which is now the wonderful Harley. Great story, by the way, and great food. But we're going to have a party for Gina to celebrate the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and her new book, which is going to be given to each ticket holder. It's a huge picture book, and it's very wonderful. And Gina will sign it when she's there and get to meet and greet everyone. And it's just going to be a fabulous with wonderful food. Again, lots of food and fun beverages.
That's fantastic.
And I know somebody, I don't know if it was you, Jill, or somebody said to me, were you going to hang around? And I was like, of course I'm going to hang around. I want to meet the people that were interested in my book and interested in me and the Go-Go's. Yeah, man, I want to hang around and meet people.
Right.
That's what I'm there for,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
That's November 5th between 7 to 10 p.m. at Harley. And I'm curious about the book. How long did it take you to put this together? Is this a lifetime of putting this together?
I guess you could say that because it is over 40 years of my life.
Right.
That is going to be told through photography, through my photos, okay. My perspective. And there's also, I think, like 30,000 words. There's a lot. I wound up writing a lot. I hadn't planned on it. I just wanted it to be like a Go-Go's coffee table photo book, art
right.
book, you know?
Right.
And got talked into writing a lot more by the publisher. And did it. And it was actually something I didn't think I could do. But then when I, you know how it is, you look at a photograph and you remember everything that was going on during that period of time. And exactly in that moment in time when that photo was snapped and everything surrounding that photo, everything started like
flashback
coming back, you know? Right. So, and I was like, it was wonderful. I just kept, it was never ending this. I felt so warm and good about the band and, you know, how lucky I've been. I mean, I've worked hard, but wow. It was a real celebration. And it was
sure.
All these photos just sitting around,
right.
You know, in closets and under the bed. And thank God I finally found the right person to help me get it together. Because I wanted to do this photo book because there's nothing out there. The Go-Go should have something out, you know?
Right. Now, were there any photos that are left out of the book that you thought to yourself, man, I really have a great memory behind this photo?
There's tons of them. I could go and do another book right now.
Oh, wow.
Because that's how many photos I have.
That's the cool thing. Gina actually saved every Polaroid snapshot. Remember back in the day when we didn't have cell phones?
Polaroids.
Every Polaroid, right. Everything. Nobody has this. It's the fun part. I've never seen this kind of archive before.
Polaroids are fun.
Yeah.
Polaroids were great. Did you used to wave yours in the air to let you know you dry it off or whatever it is?
Yeah. Of course I did. You take that shot, then you blow on it and swing it back and forth and, you know.
Now, along with the book, there's the Hall of Fame induction happening, which we're all excited about. And when you're inducted into the Hall of Fame, obviously it's that great feel. You got to have a great feeling behind it. Do you get to choose who inducts you? Do you get to choose those that introduce you?
Yeah, you can put a couple choices up to the Hall of Fame people.
Right.
And they will tell you who makes most sense with who's been there before. And, you know, so we had several names we put up there. And then we finally decided on someone that we love who is an actual real fan of this band.
Okay.
And has been their entire life. And so it's going to be I think people will be surprised, but it'll be a really pleasant surprise.
Am I wasting my time asking you who that is?
I cannot divulge that information at this point in time. But right. It's going to be quite a celebration, one that we were wondering if this was ever going to happen. Right. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I put this.
That's okay. You know, and you know what it probably is? It's probably somebody calling you to say, no, hey, I hear you on the radio.
Here's what it is.
Spam.
How many of those do you get a day?
Somebody's trying to sell her a printer or something.
Of course it is. It's one that they found on the corner. You know what I mean? Anyway, back to what we were saying, and I lost track of.
Of people that introduce you at the Hall of Fame.
We were all excited about this for so many years, and then it got to the point where, like, it's just never going to happen. To hell with it. We don't care.
Right.
You know what? We feel pretty good about what we've contributed, all right? We're all right about that. We can go out and play as many shows as we want every year. We're cool with that. We have a great fan base. We're cool with that. But then when our name came up and we were like, maybe, and then we're actually going to be inducted.
Right.
Everybody was kind of knocked out because it was sort of like your lifetime achievement award or something.
Big time.
Right.
Couldn't like really believe it was happening.
And the timing seemed right for everybody because everybody's, you know, kind of, you had reunited a little bit.
Stuck indoors and everything. Stuck indoors. Now sort of things are opening up a little bit, and I hope that it continues, you know, things in an upswing, because this COVID thing is just. Really?
Right.
Yeah, that was a drag.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say about it. We could sit here all.
We can, and we will.
Talk forever.
I'd be happy to sit here with you all day. I swear, I'm good, man. I'm good for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's kind of wrecked so many things. Everybody couldn't. We had a tour set last year that had to get canceled. We had a tour set for this summer that had to get canceled. We are doing some shows at the end of the year.
Over Christmas.
Julie's going to be at those. Yeah, it's been a drag.
Right, well,
I think it's finally picking up because it just isn't quite over because, almost there.
We're still in the danger zone, but I don't want to gloss over the fact you've got shows coming up at the end of the year. What are you going to tell us about that?
Well, everybody's going to have proof of their getting that they got vaccinated.
You got it right here. Look, on my phone.
They're going to be taking temperatures when you walk through the door.
Right.
So we're taking all the precautions. Nobody backs. You know, I was like talking to some friends about coming backstage. My manager said the venues will not allow anyone backstage.
Oh my God.
No backstage. And I'm like, well, where are we going to see our friends? I don't know, but they don't want to be liable for somebody saying, I got COVID at your venue, and come back and suing them. It's crazy. People could use any opportunity. They love to sue.
So do we have dates yet for the shows?
They're in December and January. There's 4 dates, and it'll be San Diego, Los Angeles, Vegas, and
San Francisco. We're doing 2 nights in Vegas. We're going
to
do
back to back.
Everyone should.
Yeah, of course, right? But it's what's really cool is it's going to be New Year's Eve in Vegas.
Yeah, back to back.
At the Venetian. That'll be fun.
Go-Go's New Year's Eve in Vegas. Are you kidding me?
And then the next day.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. That sounds like a ticket I want to buy right there.
Yes, after that.
I think we play here the second or the third. I think
it's the third. Yeah, something like it's not even a week later.
Yeah.
All right. So when the band started, things were different in those days. Things were different in the late 70s and early 80s. Has the representation for women improved since then?
Of course it has.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Julie and I talk about this like when we were all hanging out in New York City, basically at the same time.
Early 80s, mini skirts and high heels.
There you go.
Required at all times.
Yeah. And how you were treated if you were a woman. It was different. It was different than it is now because... The bottom line is when you are successful at what you do, you demand respect and you get it after a while.
Is that the only difference, the fact that you were successful? So a non-successful women's act?
It's just sort of evolution. Things get better and better. You know, people just sort of like, okay.
Men have gotten better.
More aware.
And the society's gotten better because back in the day in New York, even if people were okay, there was still that thing, you're a woman, and it was still left over from the 60s and 70s, you know. So it's gotten better overall, and now no one dares, but everybody has definitely proved themselves that women are equal in business.
And all the things, you know, Black Lives Matter and the Me Too movement, all I think all that stuff was necessary and good.
Right.
You know, everybody needs a reminder to do the right thing.
Right. And Julie, you're a builder. You're in an industry that was male dominated forever.
It's all male and it's still old school. And we say men are competitive, but actually women are more competitive somehow in a different way. But men are this is the deal with men. If you know what you're doing and you're standing next to them and you actually know what you're doing, it's fine. It's when you don't, and that's a problem, because in construction, people could die if you don't know what you're doing. I mean, you have to know what you're doing in my business. And then I had the bonus of being born with this natural talent. I'm an artist, so right. I have the bonus. So I don't really compete with anybody because I'm leagues above most of the average contractors because of my design ability. So it's just fun, and women multitask better, so win-win.
and are there women that you have your eye on coming up in your industry?
I always promote on my internet that women should take their contractor's license if they're already doing design and crossing over or in their own flippers or whatever. But I always encourage women that want to start their careers, look at construction. Don't just think about design. Look at construction, project management. There's so many things. So I just kind of spread the word, and you know, I belong to a couple groups and women in construction and all that. So I just show them it is possible, because the biggest problem with all women entering construction is the fear. It's their fear. Get rid of the fear and know what's possible, then you can do it. It's really just the fear in your own head. Right. So I never had that. I'm not really afraid of much.
But you know what, Julie? You and I were lucky to have good parents.
Well, that's what it is. My mother grew me.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot. Our parents were so supportive of whatever we wanted to do as kids and felt that sky's the limit.
We're girls. We were drummers in the 70s. Most moms would have said, aren't you going to play the piano, or aren't you going to do this?
Or
dress a certain way, because that's how it was. It was a leftover parenting from the 50s, because they grew up with that.
Yes.
So I never had that. Gina never had that. So that was a huge help. I wasn't programmed to get married, have kids, and do girl things, period. Right. I played golf. My sister played baseball. We both were champions, skeet shooting, archery shooting, all kinds of stuff.
Right. And Gina,
Gina,
your first set of drums, where'd they come from?
My first set of drums came from a place up in my neighborhood where I grew up, old man Petro's music store. It's a kind of junky place. And I would ride up there on my bicycle and, you know, check out what was going on and what I could afford. And finally, I did. I was able to piece together a drum kit. It was a Japanese company called, they were Lido Supremes, and they were Blue Sparkle.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's a photograph of them in the book. I had them in my bedroom set up. You know, I had to get rid of the bed and get out one of those pull out. It was like, what are they called? Trundle beds or
trundles.
Something. Remember that?
Uh-huh. They slide out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had one of those so that I could fit my drums in there and come home and just put my headphones on and play with all my favorite records. That's how I taught myself to play.
I saw a picture of the snare, the blue glitter snare, right?
Yeah. I still have that. It's a 1957 WFL. And I have used that on, that has been the snare drum on every Go-Go's record.
Oh, really?
Including,
I just love it.
Including Club Zero, the last song that we did.
I love that.
Including that. Yeah.
Love hearing that.
Yeah.
I love it.
So I want to get a little deep with you on this next question. And we mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, yes, women are seen differently. There's more respect given to women. Men have possibly, maybe we've learned something in 40 years or whatever. Are there more women in positions of power in the music industry, in the decision-making? And if they are, does that mean that they won't necessarily take advantage of musicians, or is it inherent just to the business?
I think it's inherent to the business.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, I've known lots of women in positions in record labels, but not really higher-ups, you know? There are a handful of women that have really powerful jobs, but overall, it's still men leading the pack. Right. And, I mean, that's okay because, you know, I'm just saying things are changing all the time.
Right.
You know, and people are just, you should be judged by your abilities and not your gender. And you know, I think that, like we've been saying, things have been changing a lot and they're getting better and better.
Right.
And there's room for everyone. There's room for everyone. Right. Do a good job. That's how you should be judged.
And if you're passionate, your goals will take you wherever you want to go.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Did you ever see yourself becoming an executive?
I thought about things like that, but I don't know that I could. I mean, I'm an artist. I don't.
You like the writing and you're more art side.
I don't know if I could fit that mold. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be signing everybody.
There you go. It'd be too nice.
Of course he or she. Of course they're down to look, listen to them. I love
You'd
them.
Go broke.
Don't you guys get it? I mean, come on. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, everybody's got something to say and it has value. So,
right. Right.
I don't know how good I'd be at that.
As you were putting this book together and you were going through the photographs and you were writing for the book,
yeah.
Were songs coming into your head? Were you writing songs from the stuff you were writing in the book?
No. Two separate categories. Very, very different.
Okay. Tell me how.
Well, because a song is, you need to be inspired by something in your life that's happening or happened.
Right.
And, and it comes to you at different times and not necessarily, I mean, certainly like when I'm writing, a story about a photograph in the book or something, my head is not in that songwriting mode.
Right.
It's in like trying to remember everything, which wasn't easy. Right. But fortunately I kept, I keep daily planners. And I've kept them since 1978. So I kept referring back to the daily planner to get dates and places right.
Nice.
And wow, did that help me in it tremendously.
That would be tough.
Right.
Oh, my God. And then I'd call the girls up. Do you remember about this? They're like, I don't remember that. I don't.
They're like, no, it's just me. But getting the dates right, I could probably remember something,
God,
but not remember what year it was or what time period it was at all.
I would love to get lost for a few days in your daily planner. I would
there
love to just
so
sift
many
through
funny
that page
things
by page.
I'd find something. I'd call Belinda up and say, "Let me read you this," and we'd get hysterical to, or Jane or whomever in the
so
band.
So cool!
Can you believe that we did this when we did this? What we were into.
I've heard some of the stories, by the way. It's funny.
The trouble we used to get into.
Like wow. Right.
any hurt feelings from the book or any?
Well, I haven't. Nobody in the band's seen it yet.
Okay.
No one's read it or no one has seen it, but they'll be getting their copy shortly.
Okay.
In the next couple of weeks. And I think everybody's going to love it. I mean,
a walk down memory lane. What?
Yeah.
Who could not like that?
And we're sort of at the age where now, I mean, come on. We've all done it. We've been through it. And nobody's uptight about stuff.
Right.
Everybody's sort of like, that's part of growing up. Mm-hmm. Part of like, I mean, we were just like every other band. We just happened to be women.
Right. After 50, women change.
you're not like
no,
fearful of things at all. Like,
uh-uh.
You know what I mean?
It's
you kind of are like, this is what I am. This is who I am.
Yep.
This is what I've done.
Right.
No big deal.
I think, and you mentioned 50. Julie, I think you're right. I think 50 gives you a life perspective.
Something happens.
There's a red line at 50, I think.
Yeah, you can feel it. Your body changes everything. It's a whole thing. And then you've done what you're going to do and you're just cruising through the rest with 100% confidence. How's that?
Right.
Well, I need to hang around you more.
I know. I've got it down.
How did you
meditate and talk to myself a lot?
How did you two meet?
What?
How did you two meet?
We were met through another go-go.
Okay.
Kathy Valentine.
Right.
Yeah, the bass player. And she is writing a book. As you know, I'm in my book process. And we all got together kind of connected through the book and Powerful Women and, kind of independent women. So that's how it started. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And your book, how's it going?
It's going great because I just revised a couple of things because I'm having a, I'm trying to launch it at the right time as everything is timing. So it's going great. So it's well on its way. And this fall is the exciting time. So
okay.
Great.
I'm just waiting for a few things to happen because it's just timing. Like I said before, if I did it before, it wouldn't have been ready. And now it's like, it just feels right.
It's the sweet spot.
It is the sweet spot.
Yeah, you just have to go by your gut.
Yes,
you know
that's
what I mean?
Just it.
And because nothing is a for sure,
Yeah, it's just whether it's
so
just your...
So you have to go by your instincts, by your gut.
And I want to feel like I'm telling the right story. So it's taken a minute to really, what is the story I'm telling? Because I've accomplished a lot in a man's world like Gina, and we've made it. We actually are successful and happy about our choices. And, to share that message and inspires really my kind of end goal,
Yeah.
So I want to make sure it's told correctly. And
you want to make sure it's a 3-4 beat and not a 4-4 beat.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. So, okay, Gina, when you're done writing for the book, when that process is finished, can you find yourself easily in the mold of writing music?
I'm sorry, when I finish writing a book.
When you're all done and you're done with the focus of the book itself, is getting into writing music an easy transition at that point?
Well, it's always in you. It just doesn't matter when you want to sit down and start working that part of the brain, Yeah, songs are in everybody.
Right. And
stories. And you take, and for me, I take, I'll take like, part of the lyrics of a song will always be part truth, part fiction.
Right.
I mean, that's the way I operate anyway. I take the seed of something that probably happened or happened to someone I know or something I've read or so, you know.
Or a feeling or something.
Or a feeling out of my reality and then into another place with it.
Right. And
to tell a complete story.
We were talking before we went on, we were talking a little bit about the disaster that was COVID and back before 2020 and the early parts of 2020, the end of 2019 and that.
Yeah.
In those moments where you were writing music during the lockdown, were you finding that your writing was darker generally? Were you writing darker stuff? Were your thoughts darker?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's been a rough couple of years for me. My parents died. I've, you know, had friends get sick and die. Like, it's been rough, I gotta say. And I've had to have some surgeries. I don't know. It's just been a tough couple of years. Forget about COVID, just on a personal level with myself and family and stuff. And so, you know, there's nothing is perfect in our world or in your personal life. And you just have to take out of it what you can to survive on a daily basis, because it's not easy. The older you get, more things, you know, more things start to happen to people you know and love, and it freaks you out because you can't believe, like, you can't believe that you're getting older, like, because I don't feel that way. Right. My brain doesn't work that way.
I feel 35 forever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that way. Whatever my age is, I don't feel that.
Right.
And but yet things around me are saying, yeah, you know, you're in your 60s now, man.
Right.
People are dying. People you know and love, people you grew up with. And it's shocking. So, yeah, about the songwriting thing and dark times and all, yeah, believe me, there's always something you can pull from in your life that's not going, that's not so rosy.
Right.
And COVID's just, that's another layer.
Right, it's just
another layer, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I saw a photograph of you and your elderly father.
My dad, yeah.
Your dad. Can you elaborate on your dad a little bit?
Well, dad just passed away a couple months ago.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a happy camper and a good guy.
I don't know if I want to talk about
That's cool. We're going to roll.
She did like my parents did with my grandpa and grandma. They stayed at home to the end. You know, it's nice because you're with them all the time and it's neat. It's fun. And then you'd always have that golden, wonderful memory because it, you know, makes you feel better because you always had the memories.
Yeah.
And they're in your blood, you know, every minute.
Took care of mom and dad in the last 6 years of their lives. I brought them from Baltimore. I'll just put it at this and leave it at this.
Okay.
I brought them from Baltimore to take care of them.
Right.
And I moved them into my house.
And it's a good thing.
Yeah. And I had 24-hour care for them, and I was there all the time. And I just sort of, everything else faded away in my life, and I focused on them. And that's what I've been doing, besides having to do whatever I have to do with the Go-Go's. And, you know,
that's another part of life and done well,
right.
Gina.
Done very well. Wonderful loyalty and wonderful dedication to your family.
You got great parents. It's very easy to do that.
Yes.
Right.
That's the fun
give
part.
Back, you know?
Mm-hmm. And Julie, will we hear about your parents in your book?
Well, sure, because how do you think I got this way? Anyway.
Also, your grandfather as well.
My grandpa is... was the carpenter inspiration, Richard. And then it's funny, my husband's name is Richard, but my mom and dad are solely responsible for the way I am. Cause the way I was, you know, treated, taught, and my DNA and all my grandmothers, I had five grandmothers alive when I was growing up. So it was kind of interesting, all that women power and the farming community, you know, it was the survival mode. So my parents, it's funny cause my mom and dad, they met drag racing. My mom was in a 57 Chevy and my dad was in his Ford pickup. And supposedly, well, I know she beat him, but I was conceived in the back seat that night. So that's how that goes. And my mother used to fly her own airplane. And, you know, she's got a master's degree while I was in college. So there's all this go, go, go. I think it's the Irish side, but maybe it's the German side. But that's, they're responsible for my personality. And, opening the door from day one. So it's been fun. Hanging out with them when I was young was funner than anybody, including some possibly rock band experience.
Did you feel pressure to be successful because your mom was such a baller?
No, it's an inner drive. I don't know what it is. It had nothing to do with what they told me because, you know, it was in me. It was like a fire. It was like a flame. I couldn't, I was go, 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 go. And I didn't see walls or barriers, and I just went around and learned to let crap go around me. So, I just had fun because I'm talented. So I learned the business in New York City. And once I'd kind of made it in Manhattan, I was kind of could pat myself on the back because I survived working with everybody imaginable in that city and the top five developers. And so it was like, wow, I kind of made it and by myself. And then I came to California and relaxed a bit and started my own business.
Yeah, you can do it in New York City. It is that, true. Oh my God.
I made
it.
And people would tell me, you made it, Julie, you did it. And I was like, great. So then New York slowed down. The clubs closed. It got boring. And I moved to California and started over in 1991 and started my own business. So that was the cool part. But it's in me. I can't not, I get out of bed because I want to, you know. Right. And it's weird. It's a drive. It's never been a chore. And I had a lot of fun along the way. So as I got older, I did slow down my, you know, party times.
Right.
and
Gina, I imagine it was right in the middle of party times for you when you came home and said, I'm going to be in a band. What? And I know you said your parents were supportive, but when you decided, I'm going to be a musician, I'm going to be in a band, what was that like?
Well, they knew that's what I wanted to do my whole life because, I mean, since the first concert that I ever saw, my brother took me to see, I've told this a million times, it's in the book, but my brother took me to my first concert, and that was Led Zeppelin opening for The Who.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, her first concert. She was in high school.
Yeah.
You know, this is way back.
And so I was still in grade school.
Oh, grade school.
Led Zeppelin opening for The Who.
Oh, yes. Oh,
my God.
And so I think it was in grade school. Yeah, because it might have been high school.
No, I think it was eight. You're right. Because I was,
So after seeing that, it was like that I had an epiphany. I knew what I wanted to do at 11 years old, as much as an 11-year-old can.
Yeah.
I don't know. The ball started rolling, and I couldn't stop it. It was like I just had to keep doing this. And it took me a while to figure out what instrument. I played guitar, bass, fooled around with that. But then it was like when I picked up drums, I knew that was it. I didn't have to think. I didn't have to take.
It just comes out of your fingers.
Yeah. You know, it was very natural for me.
So that night you saw Keith Moon and John Bonham. That night.
Try to beat that. One
concert.
Yeah. Try to beat that. Nobody can beat that.
Oh my God.
It's still the best drumming of on the planet.
There's some that's just amazing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the only thing better would be if we'd had Charlie White with the Stones would have been
right. Yeah. We got to get Charlie some love right now.
It was so cool.
The three favorite drummers right there. You know, growing up certainly. I mean, yeah.
That's neat because a lot of people that are famous today, they'll go back to that time period and that age, and that's when you knew. You know, that is something. Right. It's like that's really when you know. It's weird. I was drawing buildings.
Right.
There you go. See?
Still there.
Right. And I want to stay on Charlie for just one second, if I might. The jazz musician, his jazz drumming was as great as his rock drumming, as far if I can listen to it.
He was a jazz drummer. Yeah.
Do you find yourself crossing genres ever?
No. I don't get jazz. I have a great appreciation for it, but I can't play jazz.
Okay.
I've never been. It never
resonates.
It didn't speak to me artistically. It just didn't.
I can listen to Miles Davis, but I'm ditto with you. It doesn't. It's only rock and roll. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I know, but I do appreciate it for sure.
Right.
For sure.
Some things just lend themselves to be part of your soul, and that's rock and roll.
I mean, look, Miles Davis. I mean, what can you say? But there's great. All the jazz players are great players.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Gina Schock, the Hall of Fame Go-Go's drummer, and we're also talking to Julie Lawton, the Hall of Fame builder here in town.
You got it.
Both of them have books coming out eventually and soon, and we'll be seeing Gina November 5th from 7 to 10 at Harley signing that amazing book with those amazing memories. If you were to turn to one page in that book and think of a photograph that just makes you happy. What is that?
There's not one. It's the whole book. I look at that book and I can't believe that I've done it.
That's fantastic.
After all these years, I pick that book up and I go, my God.
That's my life.
Here it is. It's finally all in one place. And guess what? I could do another one right away. Because, you know, I'm glad that all that stuff that's been laying around, you know,
finally.
It's now in a place where everybody can see it.
Right.
And see it from someone who's in the band's perspective. You know what I mean? Most of the time you're seeing a photograph, it's a photographer coming in and snapping this. This is like me hanging out. We're with the band.
Right.
We're hanging out, taking photos.
Personal photographs.
You know, yeah.
Selfies like, with a
guys,
Polaroid.
Yeah, do this, do that. Like, sure, you know, we're buddies. So that whole book, when I hold it in my hands, it's like I can't believe it.
I can't wait to see
like,
a copy.
Gorgeous,
of it.
All of it.
That's fantastic. Cannot wait to see a copy of it. Cannot wait to see those photographs.
It's pretty cool, guys. Everybody that's seen it has really liked it a lot, I think.
It's substantial, too.
So when you do, toward the end of the year, December and January, when you are playing the shows,
yeah,
and you're making the move from L.A. to San Diego, I'm going to ask you to drop by here. See that studio in there?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There's a drum set in there.
I would love to have you guys just drop by the studio at some point. We'll have a little fun. We'll talk a little music. We'll play a little bit.
Who, the band?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that.
Come
but
on.
We'd have to talk to Art about that. But, right. You know, hey. It's tough to wrangle us all into one room. And
mention,
you know,
Julie's name, I'm sure.
I mean, that might change things,
I'm
right?
sure that'll yeah. change everything here. The night is November 5th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Harley. Gina Schock, Hall of Fame Go-Go's drummer, Julie Lawton Design Build. I could talk to you guys all day.
We could too.
I know, it's so easy, isn't it? You're very
it's
easy to talk to.
Amazing.
Thank you.
You really are.
We are celebrating American Business Women's Day, and we could not be celebrating with two Woo-hoo. Better people. Thank you so much for being here today.
Rock and roll.
Our pleasure.
There we go. 11:39 the time.